Hello, everybody. Hope you all are doing well tonight. We're about to get started. Let's just use these headphones tonight. Hello, everyone. Somebody let me know in the chat that you can hear me okay, and we will get started. Sounds good. Hello, I can hear you. Excellent. There are already four raised hands. You guys have been waiting for me. Let's see who we've got. All right, Leah, you're first.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
What's going really on? Good. What's going on?
I need some help with I need help with model because I'm trying to uncover a thought. I've identified the feeling, but I keep scratching and scratching. So I maybe need just a little bit of coaching to get to the thought so I can change it. So Christy, Stuart, and I, we're doing the hunger challenge together. We're kind of paired up within the Hot Mess Express. Mm-hmm. And so for this week, I'm doing eating my first meal at 11.
Okay.
So I started doing that as of Sunday. And it's gone really well. I've been very surprised by what's coming up. But on Saturday, I had an early dinner, like 5 o'clock, because I had dinner with my family. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being, and I know this is a thought, a small portion, because when I, around 6 o'clock, I was already feeling, you know, like it was, wasn't satisfied when I finished my meal. I had like a little pre-meal, it's called Snap Kitchen. It's in Dallas. It's like a healthy, you can come in and get it and warm it up kind of thing. It's fresh food though. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't satisfied. So I had a little bit of rice, just a little bit. And then I'm driving home and I'm hungry. I can feel like I'm ready to eat again. But it's already late. By the time I get home, Kathy, it's going to be close to 9 o'clock at night. That's, you know, and if I had not had this hunger challenge set up, I would have been okay just going home, going to bed, saying I'll have breakfast in the morning. It's not a big deal, Leah, because I've done that to myself many times. Hey, you're fine. What rattled me this time is I knew my first meal was not going to be until 11 the next day. Mm-hmm. And I was getting up the next morning and doing a 6-mile walk and preparing for a race. Mm-hmm. So that started all kinds of mental drama. So I called my accountability partner when I was on my way home from Fort Worth, driving back from my parents. And she said she could hear the panic in my voice. And that's how I felt. And that's what she heard.
Okay.
Like panic. So the feeling is panic.
Okay.
So I have the feeling. Now I'm trying to back into thought. The circumstance is very simple. I had dinner at 5 o'clock. So that's the circumstance. Or it may be I'm doing a 6-mile walk in the morning. I guess it could be both. But so those are two circumstances because those are statements of fact, right? Mm-hmm. The thought that's coming up is, one thought is, I need fuel in order to do this run. Like,
does that lead to panic? I don't think that's it.
It's not. That's why I keep scratching out. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to ask you a question and I just want you to talk. Okay. Verbal thought download. Okay. Why did you feel panicked? Don't think, just talk.
I think because I wasn't cared for. I was just uncomfortable. I was just scared of, I don't know what. What was I afraid of?
What were you scared of?
Being hungry. I think it was being hungry.
Yeah.
I was afraid of being hungry.
Yeah. That's it. I'm afraid of being hungry. Panic. Oh. So the C line here is not dinner at 5 p.m. The C line is the commitment to not eat until 11.
Okay.
Right?
Right. That is the,
Yeah. I told Christy I'm not going to eat until 11.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So told Christy, not eating. My handwriting's terrible when I write fast. Until 11, I'm afraid I'll get hungry. Mm-hmm. So what do you do when you panic? Did you do anything?
I called my accountability partner to talk me off the ledge, because I knew that, you know, I've done enough thought work to know that I'm trying to have my own back, that I'm doing this because I'm trying to level up. I'm trying to do the next level of my, you know, I have about 30 pounds left. I'm at the tail end of it. So I knew my desire was, my urge was to eat, but I knew that that wasn't in my best interest, and that I wouldn't be having my own back. So I reached out to her because I knew I was being irrational. I knew the panic was irrational, but I felt it. And in about 10 minutes into the call, it vanished. The panic went away, and I was able to kind of calm myself down.
Okay. So let me show you what you did.
Okay.
Not sure the feeling here, but you can fill it in. This is so interesting. I love the model.
I do too. I love it. I've been scratching on it all day, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to get on the Kone Chikon, let them kind of help me finish the model.
The beautiful thing about the model, for those of you who don't know it yet, you can't, first of all, you can't mess it up, but it really diagrams how a thought creates a result all the way through the feeling and the action. So what Leah did here, and this is kind of an advanced topic, but Leah's a model ninja, so she'll get it. So this is the first model right here. You told Christy you weren't going to eat until 11. Then you said, I'm afraid I'll get hungry, and you went into panic. Right. You paused the model. Because usually that thought, that feeling leads you to an overeat, which means you don't get hungry. Right? So you binge out, exactly. you eat off plan, you do whatever, so you don't get hungry. You didn't do that. So you stopped the model here.
Oh.
And you went down to the next model. Still, you told Christy you weren't going to eat till 11. And you told yourself this panic is irrational. You had some kind of feeling. I'm not sure. You can tell me what the feeling was that led you to calling Christy, and you calmed down. So maybe this was, I don't know. What kind of feeling do you think this was?
When I realized it was irrational?
Yeah. Were you settled
I actually felt relieved because I was able to kind of, I was relieved because I was like, okay, these are just my thoughts.
Right.
I knew that these are just my thoughts. It's a relief. Okay. You're okay. Mm-hmm. Nothing really bad is happening to you, Leah.
Right. Right.
You know, like Corinne says, you know, a lion's not chasing me. You know,
right.
There's no
right.
panic. So I knew it was irrational. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's what, do you see how that works? You stop the model here and then you jump to a new model, which was, you know, it's beautiful that you didn't hit the action line and you talked yourself down and you gave yourself a new thought, which led to relief. Then you gave Christy a call and you calmed down.
Mm-hmm. And it was fine. The next morning I got up and the one thing Christy said, she's like, well, you know, yes, it's 11. Why don't you take something very small with you when you go to the lake? Worst case, if you feel like you're going to pass out, then have the nuts or the fruit that you brought. So I brought it with me. I did the 6 miles and I didn't even need it. I came home. I had my meal and it was fine, but yeah.
Interesting, right?
I didn't realize that I interrupted the model and went to the next one.
Yeah, because you didn't play that model out.
No.
Would you agree that you stopped the model there? You paused it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't really know what the thought was. I knew it because I knew that I didn't, you know, succumb to that urge to eat, because before PMP I would have just walked into my condo, because you know I'm still living in an Airbnb. I would have walked into it. Hopefully, cross your fingers, I close on my house on Friday.
That's great.
Yeah, but I have about 6 weeks of reno before I move in, so that's why I was emailing you yesterday, because I have to get out of this Airbnb the 31st. Uh-huh. So I gotta take a late flight to do the race, but yeah, so the old me, the pre, you know, PMP Leah, that version of Leah would have come into the condo and proceeded to graze and eat the rest of the night. Mm-hmm. Because I would have felt justified somehow. Well, I'm going to walk tomorrow. I didn't get enough at dinner. You know, all the things, all the thoughts would have been there. But
yeah. So I guess, now on the backside, you get to be proud of the fact that you got your walk in, that you talked yourself down, that you called your accountability partner, and that you had some success about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Feels a lot better than grazing.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it that way. I'm so glad I called, because I was kind of stuck in, I know this has happened, but I don't know how to process it. So I knew I needed the model to help me process it.
Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is why I love the model. This, you know, Hot Mess Express is always like teasing me about being like all about the thought work, but I just love it. I love this.
Yeah.
It's made me a completely different person.
Yeah. I totally get it. Me too. I totally get it. I actually see the thoughts creeping through my head sometimes. It's like, I don't know. It's like there's different people in there or something. I'm like, what are you doing? Stop thinking that. That's just crazy talk, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, well, good deal.
Well, thank you so much. I guess I'll see you in a couple weeks. I'm going to do the race. So I'll see you. I'm a PMP devotee. I guess that's the word for it.
You definitely are. And I just want to tell you that color is gorgeous on you.
Oh, thank you.
It really is. And I'm seeing some people in the chat going, oh my gosh, Leah, you're so pretty.
Oh, well, thanks everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. I'll see you soon.
See you.
Bye.
Bye. All right, you guys, I see a lot of people, in the chat talking about, they can't see other people's comments. The chat is an interesting thing on Zoom. If you want to talk to each other, make sure that you, before you type your message, you click to all panelists and attendees. If you click just to all panelists, I'm the only one who's going to see it, and I really don't check the chat. I will check the Q&A, though, at the end of the call, okay? So if you need me, hit the Q&A or raise your hand. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, use the chat. But make sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees. Okay. All right. Let's see who we got next. Christy Stewart. And this would be the Christy that Leah was talking about.
We're challenging each other to get our asses on here to get coached.
Well, what's on your mind, Christy?
Okay, so I had an off-plan eat this morning, and I did my recovery worksheet, and I just want to make sure that I'm, like, on track with figuring shit out. And it's funny, because I was still making notes about this as Leah was talking. So I'm sitting in my shitty diaper, because I don't like my job. I'm burnt out, really. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on that, in that I'm waiting on my licensure to come through. Like, and I took some serious big ass action, drove to Austin to give them $20 bill because they keep losing my check. Like, I'm serious.
Wow.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Welcome to the state government of Texas.
Yes, right? Exactly. So, you know, now the only thing I can do there is be patient. I've got my resume updated, so I'm trying to do as much action as I can and take control of what I can.
Okay.
So, but I'm sitting in my shitty diaper about my current job. Last night at work, it was just nonstop patients to be seen. We would call that busy. No, that's a thought. And I did not...
I would call that job security, but
true. Good point. So I didn't, well, I kept thinking I didn't get a chance to eat, all night. And it took me like 4 hours to even like be able to go get water for the first time. Sorry. And so, but one thing I, and so I, all that, I sat in my shitty diaper, all that, came home and had an overeat. So my recovery worksheet, one thing I did realize, because I was processing it verbally on my voice recorder as I was eating. Like, that's one thing that I'm making myself do now. Is,
oh, that's interesting.
I don't get to just numb out and eat. I have to at least start processing it while I'm doing it.
Okay.
So one thing I realized is that I could have, like, grabbed something and eaten while I was working. I was telling myself I didn't want to do that because then I was afraid I'd go past my two, which I've done in the past because I'm distracted. But what I realized is that was really an excuse for, I still connect stopping and resting with the eating. And I'm like, well, I don't want to not be able to enjoy my food. And so that was one of the reasons why I didn't at least grab an apple, you know, to keep the major hunger at bay while I was working. Is that making sense? Not really.
So let me recap. You tell me what I don't understand.
Sorry.
You got good and hungry, but you didn't want to stop. You couldn't stop and eat because you wanted to sit down and enjoy your food rather than shoveling it in. So you didn't have an apple. You just waited until you could take time to sit down and eat.
Well, kind of. Yeah. So I couldn't stop and eat. Like, I can't stop and eat when I've got patience and intake. And so I kept thinking, well, go grab your apple and eat it while you're working. But then I said, no, because I want to be able to stop and eat. And hopefully I'll have a minute later to do that. And that minute never came.
Okay.
So what I realized, and the overeat happened once I got home.
Okay.
The only time I had a chance to stop.
So why did the overeat happen when you got home? Why did it happen? It doesn't have anything to do with not stopping and eating.
Because my justification, I realized, and I'm realizing this is kind of a theme with me, is I've been sitting in discomfort long enough.
Oh.
So I don't want to sit in discomfort anymore to let this pass.
Okay, but why doesn't that lead to plus two? Why does it lead to overeating?
It was off plan. It wasn't overeating.
Oh, so you ate. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it was an off plan. And I did try eating something on plan first. I did that because I was having those thoughts as I was driving home. I'm like, no, just go home and eat what's on plan. And that typically works because usually it's hunger that leads me to, like, eating something stupid.
Why is eating on plan uncomfortable?
Because this time it was just because I had started craving or wanting something that was off plan. I mean, most of the time it's not. It's just,
do you always give in when you crave or want something off plan?
No.
So why did you this time?
Because of the justification that I've been sitting in discomfort for 10 hours at work.
And because you decided you were going to eat off plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With that justification.
Okay. Yeah. So what's next? What do you do? What do you do next time? If you see that that's a pattern, how are you going to interrupt it?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest thing.
So you have a thought that I've been uncomfortable long enough, I get to eat whatever I want.
Right? Yeah. I mean, basically,
is that the truth?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Is it, if you sit in discomfort long enough, you get to eat whatever you want. Is that the truth?
Not without consequences.
Right. No, it's not the truth at all. You don't have permission to eat off plan. If you created a plan, you follow the plan, right?
Ooh, okay.
Ooh. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Chrissy, you worked really hard tonight. You don't have to have a salad. You can have lasagna.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I worked really hard, so I get to have something else. I still eat on the plan.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, because that goes back to the negotiation.
Right. It's so interesting that I asked you, since you worked really hard, you deserve to eat off plan. I didn't use the word deserve, but essentially that's what I meant. And it's, you couldn't answer me. So yeah. You have a belief that if you work really hard, you deserve to eat off plan.
Yeah.
That's the belief that you need to go after, because that's not true. Just because you work hard doesn't mean you get to eat, you know, whatever you want.
Yeah. And I was thinking of it in a way of like, can you make that choice? Yes, but I've already made a choice for myself that I need to and want to stick with, which is the plan.
When you made the plan, right? Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Because when you made the plan, you made it with your best interest in mind.
Yeah.
When you started negotiating the off plan eat, you weren't looking at your best interest. You were like, you got all puffed up and said, I worked really hard. I get to eat what I want.
Yeah.
Right.
And I get to the point where I'm like, I'm over it and I'm tired. Like I emotionally, like I just feel like I get tired of fighting, which is a big part of the problem.
Yeah. Why are you fighting eating on plan? The decision's already made. Why are you fighting with yourself about it?
I haven't figured out like conceptually, I get the sitting in discomfort and not white knuckling, but I haven't been able to nail that down in practice yet.
Well,
I'm still working.
Why is your plan creating discomfort and white knuckling? Why is eating on plan that uncomfortable?
It's usually not. Like it's usually not. It's just I was tired and something popped in my head that I wanted. I'm like, oh, it would be good to mix some chocolate chips with some peanut butter and have that with my, mm-hmm. with my banana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that sounds delicious. That doesn't mean I'm eating it.
Right. And normally I can be like, okay, no, like, let's not do that. Like that's ridiculous. You know, all that kind of stuff. And I even did some of that. Like I was like, okay, no, you're just hungry. So just eat what's on your plan and you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And I did that when I got home. I had my banana. But then I just, for some reason, I was like, I just can't fight anything anymore. Like, it was ridiculous.
Well, that was the thought that came in your head that you decided to believe.
Right.
Can't fight any of this anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's what I've been feeling a lot lately, is I just feel like I'm fighting life in a way, you know? So I think that's what I need to get to the bottom of.
Yeah, that sounds like it. You know, if you're fighting life, it sounds like you're using a lot of willpower and white knuckling, and you only have a certain amount of willpower.
It's finite. Totally. Right.
And once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
So you have to take care of it while you have it.
Yeah,
and I think
that's part of what was happening last night is mm-hmm. I was using that just to get through work. Like, mm-hmm.
So that's what you need to look at. Why are you using willpower to get through work? Why isn't it, you know, why aren't you just putting on your, you know, super social worker hat and going to work and, you know, being a boss and getting the work done and coming home and eating on plan? That's what mm-hmm. you need to look at.
Yeah.
You know, what are your thoughts going on around work that are creating this need to use your willpower?
Yes.
Because you can clean those up.
Yeah.
It's probably something like, this is just not what I want to do anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When it could be, I'm going to do a good job at this until I find something else. Or I'm going to, you know, act as if I'm really great at this and I'm really loving it. While I figure out my future. You know, when I was, I've coached with Corinne for 3 or 4 years. I don't even know how long now, but I just left my job 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't mean I hated the job I was doing while I was creating the opportunity to do what I wanted to do, what I loved. I still showed up and I still did that job and I did the best I could because I needed that paycheck and I sure didn't need them to fire me. And I still needed to be able to lay my head down at night and know I was taking care of myself.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is figure out how you can still show up for the job that you have while you're creating your future.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you do that? How can you do that?
It's going to take, it feels like it's going to take a lot of thought work, which I'm fine with. Like, I enjoy thought work. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's going to take some serious thought work.
Well, that sounds hard. Why are you saying it like that?
Because I'm really in my dirty diaper about it. My thoughts are very negative when it comes to work now. So I've got a lot of cleanup to do, I guess.
So how do you clean that up? You know the thought letter, right?
Yes.
All right. So give me just one thought. One, just one. About work.
I am willing to find the good.
No, give me the one you're really thinking. The I hate my job thought. This job sucks, whatever it is.
Oh, the original one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is just total bullshit.
Is that the thought?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So at the bottom of the ladder, we have this is just total bullshit. I'm putting BS.
Can I change it to this is fucking bullshit?
Nope. Too late. Nice try. All right. So we're at the bottom of the ladder here, right?
Yes.
So the next level up might be sometimes I think. Okay.
Oh, I like that.
Right? This is total bullshit. Oh. This is absolute. This takes the absolute off of it.
And it reminds me, because one of my favorites that I've even said before I even found Corinne is just because I think it does not make it true. And that reminds me of that. Yeah.
So this actually tells you that it's a thought, and it tells you that you only sometimes think it. It's not absolute. It doesn't happen all the time. Right?
Yeah.
So then you do your thought downloads and your models and your all that stuff around that. And then maybe the next one is
oh my God, I already feel like 100 pounds lighter with just that alone.
I'm open to thinking this might not be total bullshit. This might just be a little bit of bullshit or something. So you use,
I love it.
I'm open to thinking, but just level it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You might also use I'm thinking about thinking or I'm learning to think. And then once you hit the positive side of the ladder, you can take this up as many steps as you want.
Yeah.
You might say, I'm open to believing this might not all be bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So use those openers and closers to kind of take the power from that thought.
Yeah.
So that maybe the super intentional thought becomes apparent after you've worked through these.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to work through these in order to find the super intentional thought, the one, you know, that you want to think.
The unicorn thought, yeah.
The unicorn thought is probably not even evident to you at this point.
Right, yes.
But as you work your way up the ladder and you thought download about each of these thoughts, like I'm learning to think that this might be okay for a little while, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might open you up to the next level up thought.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
That makes sense.
Love it. Yes, absolutely. Like I already feel better just even with that. Like even with sometimes I think that this is just a thought. Like this. Yeah.
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 Because it feels like, I mean, it just looking at you, it feels when we started talking, it was the absolute truth. That
right.
Your job was terrible.
Yeah.
The absolute, I mean, fact, put it in the C line, right?
Yeah.
But it's not, it's just a thought. And just acknowledging the fact that it's a thought sometimes does bring a little bit of relief because then you realize that you can work on it if you want to. Or you can just sit in your dirty diaper if you want to do that. But it's your choice.
Right. Right.
It boils down to.
Yes. Yes.
Now, your accountability buddy is also a thought work ninja, and I'm sure, I don't know if she's listening. I don't know if she's still here, but if she is, probably. I'm sure she's taking notes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she'll bust me. Totally. Yeah.
Well, good. You guys can bust each other.
We're good at busting each other, that's for sure.
So that was helpful?
Yes, very.
Awesome.
Very.
All right. Like anything else?
No, I'm good.
What's that?
I feel like I took up a lot of time, though. I feel bad.
Oh, you're fine.
Okay.
You're fine.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. All right, Tammy, you're up. All right. Zoom is hanging up on me a little bit. Hang on. Trying to promote you. One more time. Well, it's telling me that Tammy will be rejoining as a panelist, but then it doesn't stick. So I'm not sure what's going on, Tammy. And now you're gone. What happened to you? Maybe that's what happened. All right, we'll go to the next person. If Tammy comes back, I will look for you. Well, there you are. Let's try this. It's Tammy Roche, by the way. I see I have a couple other Tammys here. Okay, here we go. Hang on, let me... Oh, you're unmuted. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. You're back.
I'm back, baby.
You're like a regular girl.
I'm becoming that. Well, it's on my goals, is I'm like, I have to show up. I don't really want to do this, Kathy, no offense. But I'm like, I think I'm on a roll here, and I'm making a lot of mistakes, so I'm like, okay. I need to own it. So,
okay.
Can I just quickly ask, with Leah, when she mentioned thought downloads before, sorry, the thought sheet, I was looking for the sheet. And then I was looking through the BS success path. Is it just something I'm supposed to write in my journal? There's no sheet for it?
If you buy the planner, there are thought download sheets in the planner. Otherwise, I just use...
Oh, there is.
I have a little notebook I do mine in. It says be happy. And see, I just do that. So you can do a thought download anywhere.
Okay. I might start using it. I do have the planner. So they are at the
back of the planner. Uh-oh, Tammy, you're breaking up on me. Actually, you are frozen now.
Wow. I probably not. So I have a couple. Oh, no. No.
Tammy is frozen. Let's see if she stabilizes for a minute. Otherwise, I'll have to take her down. Tammy, you are frozen on me.
Are you there? Yeah.
That's what happens when we talk all the way to Australia, huh?
Is it still frozen?
You're back now, but I think you're in and out.
Okay.
All right, go. Yeah, you're frozen. I'm going to take you down and let you work on it for a minute, and I'll come back to you.
Just ask it on if that's...
You can put it in the Q&A if you'd like, if that would be...
Is it back?
It's
very... I might just write it out if that's all right. Send it to the website if that's okay.
Yeah, to put it in Ask Coaches.
Okay. Thanks so much, Kathy.
Okay.
See ya. Bye.
All right, workout host, you're next. Not sure who this is. Let's see. I'm meeting you. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good.
This time.
It's good to see you.
How are you?
I'm good. How's your day been?
That's why I'm on.
Okay.
All right. So I had an overeat today.
Okay.
I didn't call it an off plan eat because I still stuck to the foods that were on my plan. Just okay. ate too much of them.
Okay.
So I definitely felt all the feelings today. Issues at work. They started around 11:30 when one of my drivers got into an accident. So I had the feelings, and I did. I just sent it to you. I did a whole thing. So I had frustration, overwhelmed, worried, mad, unsure. Like, what the fuck? Like, I was pissed because this accident, even though there was like no damage to the tow truck or anything, we found out at the end that it ended up being his fault. So this was at like 11:30, it started, and I stuck to my planned lunch, and I would say ate from my -2 to my 2, best guesstimate would be that. Then at like 1 o'clock, I had another driver come in who drives like one of our newer trucks, and we saw damage on that truck, on the body of that truck. So then it started all over again. And then I would say probably around 3, I kind of like gave in to snacking, even though it was still the stuff that was on my plan from earlier. Like, I probably had 4 servings of pretzel crisps and dip, and I think I had something else. Although the one thing I'm kind of proud of is like at 3:30 I stopped.
Okay.
And I did go and I went, left the office and went and got an iced coffee and kind of sipped on that. And I haven't eaten anything since that. So I have some mixed emotions of dealing with that stuff. I was very close to having an off plan eat. I even grabbed like a granola bar, and I had it sitting at my desk, and I forced myself to do this while I was sitting there staring at that bar. And that's when I left and went and got the coffee. But now I'm like kind of at the point where my husband's upstairs waiting for me to be done this call kind of thing. And I know he wants to get something to eat, and I'm not hungry. So now I also have like the thoughts of the eating with the husband thoughts too.
Okay. So let's talk about the overeat first. Okay. So, you gave in to the frustration. You went to the kitchen or the snack bar or whatever, wherever you keep all those snacky things. Where do you keep it? Break room.
Yeah.
And you started eating and then you stopped. Right? Now you ate more than what was on plan. Did you stop sooner than you used to stop? Or did you eat about the same amount?
I would have to say I probably ate the same amount because it was to the point where like I could feel like my mouth starting to feel gross because of the salt from the pretzels and stuff like that. So
why did you stop?
Because I started writing. I forced myself to start writing. Like I said, I even went to the break room and got something that was not even like on plan. I'm trying to think. I know I had something else before the pretzels. Oh, yeah, I had a direct bar. Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, since this is a habit for you, since this is how you deal with work stress, is you go to the break room and you start eating, right?
Right.
I'm curious about why you started writing.
Because I think I kind of told myself, like, if I'm ever going to stop doing this, I have to start doing the work to do this. Like, this is something I really want to do. And then I had that, the 150-pound thing in my head too, where it's like, here it has been since Christmas. I've been playing between 150 and 155 for 4 months now, or whatever it's been, 5 months. So that kind of crept in my head, but more so like I gotta stop doing this.
Okay. So the first thing I want you to see is that you're making progress, right? You stopped eating. And you started journaling. Mm-hmm. 6 months ago, I don't know if you would have eaten the same amount, if you would have eaten more. You definitely would have eaten off plan. You would have eaten tasty cakes or, you know, something that's right. Not good.
Whatever was in the freezer.
Right.
Or whatever.
So now you're eating the foods that you planned and you're stopping and journaling. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's kind of like I was working with Christy on the thought levels up. You're having overeat levels up. Okay. Right. Cause you're not going to go straight to, oh, look at me. I handle stress now. Right. Right. So the next level work for you to do though, is to handle the stress of work without going to the break room and without eating. Okay. So right. That's what the next level work is.
I guess I also have like a little bit of fears of like, okay, well, I've made it this step. Like, what if next time I don't make it to that step?
What if you don't? So what if you don't?
I have that big all or none kind of thing in my head too. So that's one that, like, if I don't make it to it, I'm like, oh, I'm screwed. Like, I just,
but you're not.
All that progress up.
Right. But you're not, because you have awareness now. You have more awareness now, more understanding of what your pattern is, more understanding of how to interrupt the pattern than you did before. So what you
look at this is even as kind of like a ladder as well, like
right
baby steps to get to where I want to be.
Right. So, you know, I don't know if you watched the success stories last night.
Not yet.
Lindsay talked about how weight loss is not linear. And right. I would say that any kind of work that you're doing on yourself, whether it's thought work or overeating work or binge work or whatever, it's not going to be linear either. It's going to be ups and downs, but the trend, as long as you continue to work, is going to be toward success, toward, you know, finding the resolution to whatever your overeating issue is. Okay. But you have to be able to remove shame off the back end. And you have to be able to come in and look at it and figure out, all right, let's look at exactly what happened. All right. So the tow truck had some body damage. I had a dude that got in a wreck. Why do you react with such stress to these things? Why did you react with such frustration? This happens every couple of days, right? Somebody yells at work. It's your husband or it's your clients or it's your somebody. Somebody right. yells, somebody gets in a wreck, somebody doesn't show up. You know, why do you react with such frustration? What's the thought?
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it's lack of control.
What if you just assume you're not going to have any control over those tow truck drivers? You don't.
I don't.
Right? Okay, that's a given. So what else causes you frustration? If you even think you're going to have any control over those tow truck drivers, you're probably barking up the wrong tree.
It's like the frustration of feeling like I'm dealing with like a daycare instead of a business.
Well, that's a nice thought. I'm dealing with a daycare instead of a business. All right.
Like, why do these people just not listen to me when I tell them to do something or not to do something?
So when are you going to accept that these tow truck drivers are going to act exactly like they're going to act? You know, it sounds like you want them to be responsible rocket scientists that show up to work and smell good and
drivers.
Yeah. What if they're just going to be regular guy tow truck drivers?
See, and that's where my control comes in. Cause I'm like, okay, well, if this person isn't the responsible tow truck driver I need them to be, then I need to find somebody who is.
Yeah. Like, so fire him and move on to the next guy. How many tow truck drivers are you going to go through until you find one that doesn't act like you want to act? You want him
well,
to.
Well, that's part of my other problem is like finding employees. Like I'll have ads out all the time. And mm-hmm.
You know why? Because tow truck drivers are going to act like the tow truck drivers you have. They're not going to be, no. I mean, I'm not saying mean things about tow truck drivers. I'm just saying this is the nature of owning a business and having people work for you.
Right.
You know, you get to show up deciding that I'm running a daycare, or you get to show up deciding that I can handle whatever comes up today because I run a tow truck business. This is going to happen.
You're just talking about the other day, going in with that positive attitude.
Yeah.
A smile on my face.
Yeah. I mean, you're a business owner. This is what you've chosen to do. You know, you're going to have to drop your expectations of folks to act the way you want them to act because they're going to act however they want to. they're going to take care of, you know, their own business, however they want to take care of it.
I just feel like that's a hard thought to think of, because being a business owner, you want the best of the best working for you. And
right.
You don't always get that. And sometimes you don't have the choices. And you, I don't know. It's just.
So what you do is you work with the best that you can. You work with them. You teach them. You train them. You give them expectations. You set the boundaries, and then you enforce them. Okay. Right?
Yes.
What you don't do is lose your mind and go in the break room and eat tasty cakes, because that's not a badass business owner of a tow truck business that acts like a daycare.
Nothing to do with running a business.
No, but that's the thought that you need to work on. I feel like I'm running a daycare. You know, what if this is just the tow truck business? You know, how can you change how you show up? Because you're not going to change how they show up. And if you change how you show up, you're probably going to stop your overeating in the break room in the afternoon.
Yeah. There's a person running. I feel bad. Like, one of the drivers, I just keep getting really snappy with him just because he frustrates me so much. And maybe I start working on being a little nicer to him. Maybe it'll start...
Okay, here's what I want you to do.
Okay.
Do you have 5 minutes in the morning you can thought download? Can
yes.
you create 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I want you to thought download every morning. How do I want to show up today?
Okay.
Okay, and write for 5 minutes. Every morning. And it can be it can end up being the same answer every morning. It can be different answers every morning. Some days it's going to be, I'm going to show up. I feel like crap. So the best I can do is just show up. And some days it's going to be, I'm going to show up like, you know, a professional business owner. You know, it's going to vary from day to day, depending on how you feel and depending on what you're looking at. But I want you, this is going to be how you start creating the day that you want.
Okay.
And if you want, you can post this to me.
Okay.
In Slack.
I will do it in the, I'll find a place on the planner to write it.
Yeah. Or use your, you know, like what was I was showing somebody, use just some little notebook that you have around, some little sheet of paper, piece of printer paper. Doesn't matter.
All right. Sounds good. I feel like lately I've been giving you some stuff to read.
That's all right. That's part of it.
If you're doing all these others, I'm like, wow, she must spend hours reading.
Well.
All right, Kathy. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
A great day.
You too. Bye. I'll see you soon. Bye. RUSSENKAS. Not sure how to say that, but you are next. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
My name is Kaylee.
Kaylee, what a pretty name.
Thank you.
Spell it for me.
K-A-L-I.
K-A-L-I. I never would have guessed. Okay. What's up?
Well, I'm a bit of a newbie. I joined the groupies back in October and then just joined in April for the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And so my biggest issue right now is figuring out my hunger scale, because I get so distracted during the day that I am not paying attention to myself or the clock. Mm-hmm. And about 4 to 5 hours can pass,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't moved. And then I don't really realize that I'm hungry until I'm so irritated that I'm about ready to snap on everybody around me.
Okay.
And so I feel like I'm missing the window for the hunger scale when I'm going from like, I'm fine, I don't really need to eat, I'm perfectly okay, until I'm like ravenous and about to eat you.
Okay. So how much time is there between I'm not really hungry and oh my God, I could eat my arm. How much time is there between that?
Well, from what I've been noticing from my journals and like downloading when I'm eating again, it is between 5 to 6 hours.
Okay.
And like I said, I've sat down, I got distracted writing, mm-hmm. or emailing or whatever. And then all of a sudden there I am.
Okay.
And that's happening on a regular basis. And then it's turning into, I'm staying later and later at work, and I'm trying to plan so that I'm also bringing like mm-hmm. some dinner items or a second snack so that I don't overeat or eat off plan when I finally get home.
Okay.
And because what I've been noticing is I'm ravenous, I get home, and then I go for something that's savory or more filling than what I had originally planned.
Okay. So you're eating, you're waiting till past plus two to eat, and then you eat off plan. Do you overeat as well?
I don't think that I overeat because I usually get distracted while eating by something else that I'm doing, and I forget to finish whatever's on my plate.
Well, that's interesting. That's how Corinne tells that she's hit plus two, is when she gets distracted.
Oh,
and she starts
okay.
thinking so about something other than her food, then yeah. But we need to address this this eating off plan. Why aren't you? Are you planning snacks? Are you planning a snack?
I do. I plan mm-hmm. some snacks, and mm-hmm. usually they're consumed. I would say by like 11 a.m.
Okay.
Because that's when I start getting hungry, and then I haven't been realistically planning, I think, to have a second snack later in the day because I'm realizing I really shouldn't be holding out until I finally get home just
yes.
to eat.
That's where I was so. Going with this. Yes. Because you don't have to eat a snack to plus two. You know, you could like plan an apple, which will take you to maybe minus one or zero, and then in another hour or two you're back at minus two. Right.
Yep. And yeah. I usually have grapefruit or grapes for my snack. Mm-hmm. I'm a fruit junkie. Mm-hmm. I will eat fruit all day, every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's what I would do. I would plan to have a snack before you go home. You know, make time for it so that you curb that hunger a little bit so that you don't walk into the house and start reaching for the savory. You know, you tell yep. yourself, okay, I've had a snack. I can wait for dinner now. You know, I can go ahead and fix dinner and I don't need anything else right now. Or you plan that savory snack and bring it with you and eat it on the way home. You could do either one of those.
That's an option. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That keeps you on. That keeps you on plan, and it's realistic because it's what you're eating anyway. But if you think the fruit will keep you out of the savory snack, then you just use the fruit. Point is, you get to pick. Okay.
Okay.
But don't say, I'm going to have some grapefruit and then have a temper tantrum pity party and eat the savory anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Either plan yeah. it or don't plan it. And if it's on the plan, eat it. If it's not on the plan, you know, it's not an option. It's off plan. And that's when you do okay. a recovery worksheet.
Okay. And then the other thing that I've been struggling with is, so I'm a big sweet person
mm-hmm.
and I love ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So I had bought some ice cream and I was putting it on my plan as mm-hmm. a dessert mm-hmm. and I got the little ones. So they're like 60 calories for like this tiny little ice cream, but it was just something to kind of reward myself.
Yeah. That's just
until, well,
sorry, but that's Kathy's thought.
And so I bought these and I put them on my plan. And then I've been noticing that I've been overeating because I've been going back for seconds.
Mm.
And so I talked to an accountability buddy yesterday and was like, I am tossing this stuff out of my house. I can't trust myself yet. And I can't. I know myself well enough to know I'm going to just keep going back and back and back. So I did. I emptied my freezer. I threw them in the trash and that's it. They're not in my house.
Why didn't you just stop yourself from going back?
Oh, I tried several days and it just wasn't happening. And I got frustrated with my lack of self-control and decided if it's not there, I won't eat it because that's how I work.
So you went straight to restriction, said I can't eat ice cream ever again.
Well, not ever again. I just can't keep it in my house.
Oh, okay.
If it's in my house, and that's the same thing with chips and the same with everything, I don't crave it if it's not there, but if it's there, I'll eat it. And so I typically don't buy these things. Okay. And I was just wondering if you had any advice as to how I can work myself back to potentially having them in the house or around and not being that person who just keeps going back over and over again or has to restrict and get rid of.
I think for a little while, I would plan them on a weekly basis. Okay. So let's say it's ice cream. You go to the grocery store, what, once a week? Do you go once a week?
Yeah.
Okay. So you buy two or three of them or whatever, and you say, this one's for Monday, this one's for Wednesday, this one's for Friday. Even take a Sharpie and write on them, MWF, and tell yourself, this is non-negotiable. This is what I'm doing. It's non-negotiable. I know I'm going to want more. I know I'm going to want to eat all three, but it's non-negotiable. And then when the urge comes up to go back, write about it. Write. And then read it and laugh because you're going to be telling yourself some really crazy thoughts.
Okay.
You are. I mean, that's the most.
Oh, I can argue and rationalize almost everything. I'm an attorney. I do that for a living. I can rationalize anything you want.
Yeah, I used to work for a bunch of attorneys, so I believe you. But that's where the fun of it is. If you write it all down, you take 10 minutes and you just write about how bad you want that ice cream and why you think you ought to have it. And it's just sitting in there and whatever. And then you take the time to go back and read it and you highlight the facts and your highlighter will not even be uncapped. You'll be like, this is a bunch of jackass thoughts right here. This is hilarious. I could write a novel out of these thoughts.
Okay. That's a good tip. Thank you.
That's what I would do. I'd just buy a couple of them and I'd put them in the freezer and I'd label them and then I'd let my brain just chatter away and see what kind of fun things it comes up with.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. That is.
Yep. That's it for me for now.
All right. I think it's a good thing that you're going to try and see what comes up with them. You know, there's things I don't keep in the house because I don't want to eat them, but then at the same time, if they are in the house, like I had cake. I love cake. Okay. I made a cake for Easter. There was some left over. You know, I looked at the cake and, you know, I said I was having one piece. So I'm just going to sit with the discomfort of knowing that the cake's here while my husband finishes it off. And he did. And I didn't have any more. So
see, I need a partner who's going to eat things.
Well, if that guy, but honestly, if Ken hadn't been here and that cake was left, I probably either would have sent it home with someone or I would have thrown it away.
Okay.
So there is some okayness with not keeping things in your house that you don't want to be tempted by. But there's also a little bit of work to do sometimes on handling temptation. Just doesn't have to be all the time.
Thank you.
Make sense?
Yep.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Mia, M-E-A, you are next. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome.
Did I say your name correctly?
My name's Margaret.
Margaret. Those are your initials. Well, how are you, Margaret?
Good, I'm good. So this is my big ass action for the day because I was a little bit afraid to do this.
But I love being people's big ass action. That's awesome.
So here is what's happening. I just joined in April and things are going pretty well, I think. I feel good about how things are going, following the four basics, mostly eating to plan, doing the recoveries, and learning a lot. But I have noticed, and I'm hoping you can help me with some thought work on this or give me some strategies.
Okay.
I'm starting to get really fearful because I know that it isn't always going to go well. And I'm really worried about even though I feel really committed, I'm really worried about my staying power. And I've been feeling the last few days like the fearfulness is kind of taking over, if that makes sense. And okay. I'm kind of a little bit stressed out about it. I'm very stressed out about it, actually.
So how far are you in No BS?
So I have gone, I'm starting Fat Girl Thinking.
Okay. Have you done the 4 stages of weight loss lesson yet?
Yes.
You're in stage 2.
The worry?
Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's just stage 2. And so for those who haven't done it yet, the 4 stages of weight loss, of stage 1 is, oh, look, a new shiny program. I'm so excited. I'm going to do so great. I'm learning all the things and woohoo. Then you hit stage 2, which is the, oh my gosh, this is not any fun anymore. Right? I don't know if I can do this. I don't like this. This is hard. That's all stage 2.
Okay.
Stage 3 is, okay, I'm getting this now. I'm on a roll. I'm seeing how all this is coming together.
Right.
You know, you keep pushing, you keep, you know, it's all the habits are forming and all that. Then you have stage 4, which is automatic. You're just cruising automatic. So you're in stage 2. Do you know how to get to stage 3?
No. Keep going.
When it feels hard, when you doubt, when you worry, you just keep going. You keep showing up. Because what happens when you keep showing up is you show yourself that you can still show up even when it feels hard.
Okay.
So keep working on your basics. Keep planning. You know, you see the worry come in and then just say, you know what? I'm just going to keep showing up because I know this is right. I signed up because this made sense, right? It spoke to me. It's the smartest thing I've ever heard, you know, whatever it is. It feels a little weird right now because I'm trying to figure all this out, but I know if I keep showing up, I'm going to hit that automatic phase and I'm going to cruise.
Right. And I think, like, for me, the, you know, I'll look back at my day and I'll do my reflection and I'm like, okay, today went well, today was good. And then in the back of my head, it's like, but you might fail tomorrow.
Yeah. What if you do?
Well,
you know what happens if you fail tomorrow? Yeah. You know what happens if you fail tomorrow?
Not fail the next day.
You just get up and you plan the next day.
Okay.
Right? One of the most important concept, I think, for those of you who are starting out and are in stage 2 is if you fail, it doesn't mean the end of the program. It just means I've got something I need to look at to figure out what happened, and I'm getting right back on the next day. Because this is life, okay? So I ate cake on, you know, you just heard me say, I ate cake, I ate rolls, I ate, you know, all the things on Easter. That doesn't mean I failed at keeping my weight off. It just means on Monday, I get to look at why I ate cake and bread and whether or not I like the reasons. And then I get back on plan. That's all it is. So you're going to have the doubt and the worry and the fear. It's all part of the thought management that you're learning to do. It's all part of the fat girl thinking that you're fixing to learn about when you get into that module. You just see it come in and say, yeah, there it is. This is part of the program.
Okay.
And I just got to get back. I just got to stay on my basics.
Okay.
Does that help?
It does. Mm-hmm. I guess I thought I'd feel shiny and new for longer.
It was shiny and new for 4 weeks. That's pretty good. Just keep pushing through stage 2 and you'll feel good again in stage 3.
Great. Thank you
so much. It's just part of your brain going, wait a minute, Margaret, what are we doing again? Don't we want to eat? That's all it is. Is your brain's offering you a suggestion.
Okay.
And you get to say, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
I hear you. Not today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See ya.
See ya.
All right, Tina, you're next. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
It's been like a whole 2.5 weeks since I've been coached.
I know. Feels like it was yesterday. Camp feels like yesterday.
Yeah, What's up? Well, since camp, I started No Sugar, No Flour.
Okay.
And I'm feeling really great on it. And I'm really committed to it. I've been going through all the modules, just really, really leaning into that post camp work. And I had a situation yesterday. So I did my recovery worksheet. I had ordered, so the recovery worksheet was about an eating off protocol at dinner. So I had some bread, I had ordered some soup, and it came with bread, and I ate it. But as I was doing my TDL about it, I had gone through, and from the very beginning of the day, I had been resisting urges. And so as I kind of went through and was figuring out what was happening and dissecting why I made that choice, it was, I had spent all day saying no to things that weren't on my protocol. That by the time I just was, and I had even said, like, don't put bread in there, like, I'm gluten free, like, heaven forbid, I had celiac, you know, like, I know. So like, I did everything that I, in my power, it's just, you know, they made a mistake, whatever that happens. Like, I'm not blaming anyone for thing I put in my mouth, but, I really went through all of it. And so when I was finally confronted at the end of the day with that choice, like if I had gone through and I even like counted, all of the urges, and I think I had probably 35 by the end of the day of like denying eating off protocol and having so many opportunities. I was also traveling for work, because I'm always traveling for work. And so I'm beginning to notice patterns in my fatigue, and like I even built into my schedule for how I did my day and my travel day of like sitting and just resting. Like, don't be on your phone, but giving my brain a break. So the TLDR of this whole situation is, how can I do better next time? Because I feel like I went through, and I think part of it is just going through and having this awareness around it. Cause every Monday it's going to be the same. I get up at 5 AM to get on my plane and then have three layovers and delays. And I'm at the airport and I say no to all the cookies and all the Starbucks and all the sugars. And I make a realistic plan of how many lattes I'm going to let myself drink. And I, you know, plan in all the other foods that are in my protocol. And then, I just at the very, like, I was an inch away from the finish line and I just like bailed on the whole race.
So why did you bail?
The thought, so after I did my TDL, the thought was, you know, I was so good all day. I deserve it. So it was, you know, what Christy was saying about her, you know, what she did.
So did you deserve it? What did you really deserve?
I mean, what I really deserved was to show up for myself, you know, to stick to my plan and to stick to my protocol.
You really deserve a thin body, right? And to stick to your protocol. So I think you just answer your question. You know, when you hear yourself say, I've worked really hard, I deserve this. You just answer yourself and you say, no, this is not what I deserve. What I deserve is to stick to protocol and lose this weight and have a thin body.
So having a better list of answers to that.
Yeah.
So spend some time coming up with, because I threw like every, like, I feel like it was just, I was being haunted like the whole day. And I mean, those are thoughts, I know, but like,
that makes it sound really hard. Here's the other thing I would do. If this is a consistent pattern for you, I would, I'd almost do like a future self letter on it, like you did at camp. So, you know, write down exactly how you show up at the airport that day.
Okay.
You know, if it's airport eating, for instance, how are you going to show up? What are you going to eat? This is how, you know, write the whole thing out like you're telling a story, like you're actually future casting what's going to happen, and visualize how you're going to go through the day. So writing it down and visualizing it, especially when you're tired, is like training your brain how you want to act. It's practice ahead of time because your brain doesn't tell, doesn't know the difference between visualization and it actually happening.
Sure.
So when you know your pattern and when you know things get hard, you practice ahead of time by writing it down and visualizing.
Yeah. Okay? I think that I have been doing a lot of really, especially since camp, a lot of great work in figuring out like the bullshit things that I say and do to get in my own way. Mm-hmm. One of my workarounds has been, I don't eat in my room. Like I always eat in a public space, whether it's like a hotel lobby or whatever. I'm also like always looking at, menus ahead of time and like just make it like shutting down the conversation. Mm-hmm. And like, so I walk into a restaurant, I don't even look at the menu anymore. It doesn't matter if it's happy hour and they want to give me one margaritas.
Right? Margaritas have a lot of sugar in them.
Right, they do.
Yes.
So then you just drink the tequila straight, right?
Right. Well, tequila has sugar too. It's,
I know. Yeah. So I am doing a lot better. And I think I just needed to be reaffirmed that like, the reason I got on this call was not because doing the recovery worksheet, I knew it. I didn't know what the next action step of like, what is the next level of thought work? And I think you got me there of, okay, I can, I have to come up with a bigger, badder arsenal of responses to that chatter.
Yeah. What I tell people to do a lot of times is to, on a sheet of paper, write down every excuse you have for eating off plan. Mm-hmm. Okay. I deserve it. I'm super hungry. I might not get this again, you know, whatever all those excuses are, and then write down answers to every single one of them. Yeah. You know, not when you're in the moment of having all this chatter, you know, when you're in a real logical moment. I gave this assignment not too long ago to somebody, and one of the excuses they had to eat off plan was, I don't know when I'll get this again. And the answer was, unless this is made on Mars, I can have it again. I can plan for it again. Or, you know, so it's that kind of thing. And even if it becomes a little humorous, that's good because you're practicing ahead of time and you're going ahead and developing the answers to all those thoughts that you have that tend to lead you to overeating.
Yeah, that's
so
a good
those thought. Two things, you know, are practice ahead of time. Those, you know, making that list, visualizing, you know, writing out your story ahead of time, all that is good work to practice handling the situation when you come up against it.
Yeah, thank you. I also need to say for everybody that like freaks out about traveling for work, I have never been to any place in all of my time that has refused to make me a grilled chicken breast and throw on some steamed broccoli. And like, I ordered a meal and it was like on the menu, it was billed as like sweet waffle breaded chicken. Like who makes that? Sounds great. and it came with, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy and I'm no sugar, no flour. And so, you know, most gravy has flour. And so I said, okay, just give me chicken, but grill it. Don't put anything on it. Grill it dry. And then, you know, instead of having mashed potatoes, can I get another vegetable? And so they gave me Brussels sprouts and green beans. And it was like, one of the best meals I ever had on the road. And I invented it. They didn't give a fuck about like what they were going to put on the plate as long as they were willing to charge me $24.95.
Right. They just want their money.
So, anybody that has any drama about eating for work on the road, send them to me because it's really, it's totally doable. And I think after camp, there's like a whole level of commitment and seriousness that I feel like I'm taking everything and I'm seeing like really incredible results.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you, Kathy. You are incredible. Hello to everybody. Oh, and someone said about my skin, drink your goddamn water. Cause this is happening, right. When you drink your water.
That's right. See you later, lady.
Thanks, Kathy.
Bye. She's so funny. Sarah, it's your turn. You're up. Uh-oh. Are you there, Sarah?
Here we go.
Oops, there you are. Hello.
I've got three screens going at work right now, so just had to find the right one.
What are you doing at work, girl? It's late.
Yeah, I know. I got a lot of stuff to do.
What's up?
Like we're having a camp reunion, though. Okay.
That's I see Amaka in the queue here. I don't know. She's about four down. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can get to her. So what's up?
So at camp, I decided I had a really bad poison thought about that I can't have everything I want if I have a family. Oh. And I decided that I wanted my family and all the things that come with them, the good mm-hmm. and the bad. Mm-hmm. And I worked on that all weekend. So now that I'm home, one of the things is I get very frustrated with my family. And I have just discovered a bunch of what I think are just not very fun thoughts about them that I want to work on. Okay. But I get myself caught in this thought spiral.
Okay.
Like, hold on, I have my journal here. So one of my thoughts is that my daughter is spoiled and that we give her everything. Mm-hmm. And then I think, okay, that's a thought, you know, I can think about this a different way, but where do I draw the line in setting boundaries for her that respects my thought work and things like that. So a lot of the thoughts that I have are like about fairness and how do I balance, you know, letting someone be the person that they need to be, but still having some kind of it for children. I feel like you do have expectations for them. So, you know, like, do they do the dishes? Do they do the chores and things like that? And I've been writing my manuals for them and they're very extreme, my boyfriend and my daughter. And obviously I think now that my manuals are ridiculous, but I also feel like I've got to have some kind of expectations and participation. I just don't know where to go with this. Like it just keeps going around in a circle. Like, but I can choose to think anything I want, mm-hmm. but I feel like I have this feeling like that there are some very minimum expectations I have to have, but ThoughtWork says you don't have to. So I'm not really okay. sure where to go from here.
So when it comes to children, it's your job to have expectations. It's your job to
okay. teach
them. How old is your daughter?
She's 16.
She's 16. Okay. She's on the tail end of you being allowed to have a manual for her.
Yeah. Okay?
And boundaries for her and all that. As far as the boyfriend goes, you don't get to have a manual. You can have a manual for him. He doesn't have to follow it.
Oh, yeah. My manual for him is just absolutely bullshit.
Yeah. Well, and he gets, I often tell my husband, you get to have a manual for me, but, you know, you have to tell me what it is sometimes. Because that's what you do with a manual. You have these huge expectations, and then they don't follow it, and then you get mad. But you haven't really told them what the expectations are. You haven't given them an opportunity to live up to the expectations. That's what I see in a lot of people. But then the other thing is you can tell them what the expectations are, but they don't have to follow it. And your daughter being 16, she's at the cusp of making her own decisions.
Yes.
So you're going to have to balance setting her boundaries for her and communicating with her why the boundaries are important. And then telling her these are the expectations and these are the consequences.
Okay.
If you don't uphold the consequences, then you may as well just not even say what they are.
Yeah.
Right. You know, if you stay up past 10 o'clock, I'm going to ground you for a year. That's not, you know, and then you don't do that, right?
Yeah.
Not going to believe you.
Okay. Okay. I think that's good. We have the car coming up. We just got her a car. So I was thinking about just asking her what she thinks the expectations about using the car would be and let her come up with them. And then we can work on them together. So I feel like that might be more useful than...
What if she's wrong? What's the expectation is I get to use it all the time, anytime I want, and you're going to pay for all the gas. And you're like, no.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
what if she's
wrong? Will be.
Yeah. Yeah. So why don't you tell her, what's her name?
Brianna.
Brianna. Look, I'm letting you use my car. Here are the expectations. Do you have any questions?
Okay.
Who's the grown-up?
Me, I think.
Yeah. And then, you know, you guys discuss it from there.
Okay.
But if you're, you know, you can't, it sounds like what you're doing is you're allowing her to set the boundaries and then you're not agreeing with them. And that's where your rub is. If you're allowed. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have, she's my stepdaughter. And so I've kind of let her lead. And now that you say that, I see that.
Yeah. So she's your stepdaughter. Is she your, I don't think I understand this family dynamic. She doesn't go with the boyfriend though. She does.
Yeah. I just call her my stepdaughter. Okay. We're not married, but okay. I've been her main provider for like 3 years.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool then. So can you and the boyfriend reach agreement together on the boundaries and then communicate them with her? Or do you just take care of all that? That's the dynamic you have to figure out.
Yeah.
As the parent, I think you should set the boundaries and then ask her, you know,
okay.
You know, and then negotiate past that if you want to.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I just, like I said, get in that kind of spiral and I didn't know how to answer my,
well, I was kind of, I don't want to say I was an overbearing mom, but I kept an eye on I had boys though. I kept an eye on them. I used to tell them, here's a cell phone. Congratulations. I pay for it, which means it's really my, I'm just letting you use it to call me.
Yeah. I'm definitely the overbearing mom, but like you said, I've been letting her set the expectations and then being upset about it.
Right.
Because I haven't set them.
Right.
There's this step family is a very interesting dynamic, but,
only if you make it that way.
Yeah, I've been busting through a lot of that stuff. I've given her a hug and told her I loved her every day since camp.
Yeah.
Because I had lied to myself and told myself that she didn't want my love. But that was just a lie that I told myself and I made up. So I'm working on a lot of that stuff.
Good for you. Good for you.
All right. I think that answers it for me. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. See you later.
Bye.
Tanya, you're next.
Oops, sorry.
Wait a minute.
I won't touch it again.
Oh, I think we were both hitting it. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
What's up?
I'm doing good. So I just wanted to jump on here real quick. Things are going well. I'm kind of happy. In the month of March, I had stalled in my weight loss and I lost a pound the whole month. Mm-hmm. And my goal was at 1.5 a pound a week. So I reassessed. I went back, reassessed, made some modifications, figured out what it was and made those modifications. And then now, so in April, I've been kind of steadily moving on. I also changed my goal last, we had done a coaching call, maybe it was March. And I had changed my goal to just 1 pound a week instead of the pound and a half. And that's working much better. It's much more reasonable. And I think for many reasons. And so I'm happy with that. So I want to TDL and I keep hitting, and I think I know the answers, but I figured I'd just come on here and see what you have to say. So I keep, like, I want a TDL. So I'm saying like, okay, I'm going to TDL. And then I also want to plan more. So what I find, I'd like to use Saturday for an example. So on Saturday, I knew there were certain things that I wanted to get done. I went for a run with the kids. I went to the gym afterwards by myself. When I got home, I got the kids ready, got them out the door with my husband for a birthday party. And then it was just my time. And so I had wanted to sit down and start planning what I was going to do that day because I was feeling overwhelmed by what I needed to get done. And I thought, well, if I just do the list, I'll be good. So instead of doing the list, I cleaned the whole kitchen. I mean, I emptied out the drawers. I vacuumed them. I got a lot done.
Wow. Come to my house.
But at the end, I was like, Okay, so I do address, I recognize that overwhelm can only exist via inaction, but what I think I've noticed as a trend is that I'll just choose something.
So yeah, you were just procrastinating. You weren't overwhelmed.
I was.
You were just procrastinating.
I really was. Mm-hmm. And so I keep, whenever I think about trying to organize my to-do list, I won't say always, I seem to catch myself doing something else. And this is I see it a lot. So I'm trying to think about, like, is it the, when I catch myself, even if it is something productive, like cleaning the kitchen, mm-hmm. saying it's the same thing as when I catch myself eating off plan, the yep. stopping it.
It's exactly what just, it is.
So, okay. So stop it, mm-hmm. do a TDL on it.
Yep.
And then I hear Corinne say her TDL some days is just her to-do list. So right. then use that TDL start and then start writing out everything I need to do. And then just kind of number it or something yeah, or whatever you could works do that. For me.
You could also ask yourself why you're procrastinating and what you really want to do. That's the key. Why, yeah. you know, if you've decided, you know, this is what I want to do today, why aren't you doing it?
Because it's what I should do. It's not what I want to do.
Oh.
I so want to sit around and do nothing.
Do you
that's
do that?
What I want. Well, I say that, but I don't know that.
Okay,
that's
this
really
is interesting.
True.
Do you work outside
yes.
the home? Okay.
Yes.
So do you like get up in the morning and say, well, I should go to work, but I'm going to, you know, vacuum out the kitchen drawers instead?
Yes.
You do?
I really do.
And so you blow have, off work?
So I have flexibility in that I can work when I want to work. Mm-hmm. And so then I will, yeah, I really will do it in the morning and then so I'll go in later and work until 8 o'clock at night.
What's the benefit to doing that? What are
there
you getting out of it? No, there is, or you wouldn't be doing
it. So normally I don't enjoy cleaning the kitchen.
What's the benefit to procrastinating at work?
So what I will tell you, so the other day I had something that I was procrastinating on mm-hmm. and it was a little bit of, I knew I could start it, but I also knew that I needed some information from somebody. So I kind of procrastinated a little bit.
That was an excuse.
And then what?
That was an excuse.
So we're going to get to like this is my belief around okay. procrastination.
Okay.
Every time I think about procrastination, the result still turns out really good after procrastination. So I think I tell myself that me procrastinating creates a better result than if I just did it up front.
Is that the truth?
I don't know because I never did it up front.
So then tell yourself that's not the truth because you don't know.
I don't
it's not,
know.
Right? If you really don't know, then you're not telling yourself the truth. You're just giving yourself an excuse to procrastinate.
Yes.
Why does procrastinating feel so good to you?
I don't know.
That's
so
your
I know.
Work.
So
you can't say, by the way, you never say I don't know to a coach. That's like
exactly.
rule number one. Don't ever say that.
Well, I did really well. I did really well my last coaching call because I knew I wasn't allowed to say that.
Okay. So if you had to guess, if I gave you $10,000 to tell me this is why I procrastinate, this is why it feels so good, what would the answer be?
It comes back to the self-worth and the whether or not I really think that I can do what I do every day. And so while I can verbally tell you mm-hmm. that I'm really good at what I do, I don't actually believe it. Mm-hmm. I only can say that because other people say it to me, mm-hmm. but I don't believe it.
So that's
so like,
why
I know
you...
I'm good because people tell me I'm good, but I don't believe it.
Okay. So that's why you, that's why you don't say, I don't know, because you do know. Because okay. your self-worth is, you know,
in the dump.
Okay.
Exactly.
And that's why you procrastinate.
And that's why I won't do the TDL.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I might believe what I write on my TDL and might like get better self-worth. I don't know.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, because like I'm in the Queen's Club, so I've been doing the three things mm-hmm. I love about myself. Mm-hmm. And so I write them, and then I went back and I then wrote them in my journal. I was trying to be crafty with them because I was told I do a lot of masculine things. So maybe try doing some feminine things to see if it brings out that, you know, softer side of me.
Not sure what that means, but okay.
And so I was trying it. And what I realized is that as much as I thought they were three different things every time, they're all very, very much so the same three things.
So you learned something.
So I did learn something.
Yeah. That was the key. All right. So for the next 7 days,
okay,
you're going to journal every day about what you're good at.
Okay.
Okay. And it can be vacuuming out the kitchen drawers. It can be work. It can be whatever it is. But for the next 7 days, this is what I'm good at. This is what I did well today. And you're going to journal about it in your foo-foo girly journal, if you want.
Right.
Okay. And on May 1st,
okay,
from May 1st to May 31st, you're going to work the self-love program like it's your job. And you're not going to procrastinate.
Thank you. And you know what? I knew I wanted to do that class, and I just haven't done it.
Well,
okay. I will do
the
it.
May, listen, the May program.
Oh, that's what May is?
Yes. She has redone the self-love program.
Wonderful.
See, and
here's evidence for procrastination, Kathy.
No. You just go ahead and keep telling yourself that big fat lie. The self-love, she's redone it. Okay. So it originally, those of you who've been around a while, originally released in June, she gave it a big old fluff and buff. And we've been getting everything ready for May 1st this week. So you'll hear about it. She'll introduce it more on the Tribe News show on Thursday.
Yes.
But it's really good. It's more than self-esteem and selfies. It's self-confidence. It's self-worth. It's all kinds of really great things that Tanya needs to work every single day. First thing in the morning, no procrastination is when you do your thought download. You get up and you hear my voice saying, I'm not allowed to procrastinate this. I'm doing my journal entry. So you have eight of them to do between now and then May 1st. So by the time you do 39 in a row, first thing in the morning, you're going to have a new habit. Okay. And it's going to be not procrastinating.
Thank you.
You're going to show yourself that you don't procrastinate.
Thank you. And now I already told you that I have some flexibility in work, so I can't even come back and tell you I didn't have time.
Nope. I will pull the light on you.
Oh, no. Did I lose you?
No, okay. You're good.
All right, good.
Perfect. All right.
Thank you so much. This was great. I'm glad I jumped on here.
Okay. See you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. There are still six people here, and y'all, I don't know if I'm going to get to all six in 30 minutes, but I will try. Okay. So Amaka, you are next.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm not going to be super happy today.
Well, you're smiling.
I know, because that's what I do.
Do you miss me? You miss me, don't you?
Yeah, that's the reason why I'm on this call. That's the reason. Not because I just had an overeat or anything, but just, yeah. Because
you miss me. You just wanted to say hi. You tell me a joke, right?
I wrote on the Q&A, but then I was just like, I probably should go on. I'm so in my dirty diaper. It's like really bad. I know I'm premenstrual, so I thought that I could plan realistically. I still went off plan. And I'm just at the point of I don't know what to even say. Do I not care? Am I at the point that I don't care anymore?
Are you? Do you really not care? Is that why you're on this call? Just tell me you don't care? Or are you on this call because you really do care and you're just having an attitude problem?
Yeah. I'm just like, so I'm like pissed. I'm pissed off. That I'm doing, I'm trying so hard and I'm doing so many things and I'm just, nothing's clicking. And I'm just getting frustrated that I forgot what I even wrote down in my, what I wrote down, but I'm just like.
You want me to find your question in the Q&A?
Yeah. All maybe, right. Maybe that's where I wrote it.
Let's see. Where Amaka's question is. Aww. You wrote the F word.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it.
Yeah, I wrote.
I'm having a bout of the F-its that I can't seem to shake. I'm planning to plan very realistically tomorrow. Is it okay to level down food when things are just not clicking? Sure. You can level down food whenever you want to. Just understand.
I don't think that's the issue. I don't think that's the main question. I think that's why.
Is there another question?
No, I think like that was a question I had because I didn't want to join, but I feel like, why am I such in this crappy mindset that I just don't, that I feel like I don't care?
Is it because, do you think it's because you're hormonal? Or is it like this all the time?
This is like the first time I actually like I've caught it and been like, okay, I know this is used just the week before. I track it. So, you know, but I feel like this has been going on for the past 2-3 months. I've gained weight. I've lost like net pounds since I started PMP, but I just feel like since I lost the weight on January. And then since then I've been like the same weight. You know, the bet that I have my brothers, I'm going to have to pay them because I didn't lose anything. I didn't even post my plan today on Facebook for the first time because I was just like, I'm over it. That's how upset I was. And even when I don't feel like doing anything, I still post my plan. And today I was just like, well, that's it. Like, there's no point of doing it. Nothing works. Like, for me, I'm a unicorn, Kathy.
So nothing works.
Nothing works.
That's the painful thought. I'm a unicorn. Nothing works. Which leads you to apathy as a feeling.
Yeah.
Which leads you to pre-failing, quitting, and pre-failing because nothing works.
Yeah. And I started, when I wrote down something in my I did the ultimate recovery sheet because I said, like, what's going on? And I started crying at this point. Surprise, surprise, Amaka cries. I'm going to Miami to see a friend that I've known since kindergarten. She's graduating med school. Like, I'm going to meet her now, fiance. Like, there's a lot of things going on. And I feel like she's going to see me like this. And, like, I have nothing to offer in, like, conversation and compare our lives. Like, she's going to medical school and she's now engaged. And how are we so different? Even though we both were, like, such good friends in kindergarten and first grade, it's just, I feel like a failure. And I don't want to embarrass myself.
Okay.
Oh no, Amaka's crying again.
Now listen, Kathy's a crier too. Just because you emote because it's natural to you and because you actually feel your feelings. Okay. So first of all, let's just say crying is A-okay on Kathy's calls. So you can cry as much as you want to. I may end up crying with you. Would that be okay? Okay. Your painful thought is, I have nothing to offer. Okay. Yeah. That's, and what holds true for you is that your you've got to work this self-love course too, because your self-esteem is not real great, is it?
It's like non-existent.
Yeah. So do you really believe you have nothing to offer this relationship? Let's ask this. Tell me three things you have that are special about you that you can offer this girl. It's a girl, right?
Who
you went to visit? What's her name?
Natasha.
Natasha. When you go visit Natasha, tell me three things about you that you offer her in your relationship.
I think, you know, when we are together, we're like more carefree. Mm-hmm. Like we can just act really silly and like not our age. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm a very encouraging person, and I like when she told me she wanted to go to med school, like I knew exactly what I was gonna. I told her that my brother will help her. I just offered like any support that I could because I knew that I wanted her to succeed. And I don't know, like, I just feel like I'm so happy for her. Like, each time I think about it, like, I cry because I'm so happy for her, but then I feel bad that I'm still, like, not where I want to be.
All right. So let's debunk the thought, I have nothing to offer. because you told me you give her the, you allow her the ability to be carefree and silly. She's, if she's in med school, she probably doesn't have that option very often, right? To be herself, to let her hair down. You're encouraging, you support her. And I picked up on a lot of affection for this girl, a lot of love, affection for this girl, right? So it seems to me like you have a lot to offer her. You allow her to be herself and you encourage her and love her for the person that she is. That's a beautiful thing. So we're going to say, we're going to debunk that first thing, I have nothing to offer her, as a big fat lie you're telling yourself. So don't say that anymore. Okay? What you're doing, Amaka, is judging yourself based on her accomplishments. Okay? You're never going to come up on the right end, on the top end of a compare situation. Never, ever. We're always looking at other people as our harbingers for success. You know, you never compare yourself to that homeless guy on the street and say, you know, I want to be like him, right? You're always comparing yourself to someone you think is besting you. And you're never going to come up, you're never going to come up on the right end of that. So instead of comparing yourself to her, love and support and encourage her and be her friend. That's what she doesn't want you to come up there and go, oh my gosh, you're so awesome. You're in med school. You've got all your stuff together. She wants to see you because you love her and support her and encourage her. Yeah. Right?
Right? Yeah.
So that's how you show up. You show up as the beautiful Amaka that you are in this wonderful relationship that you have. You said you've known her since what, kindergarten? Yeah. How lucky are you to have a friend who you still keep in touch with from kindergarten?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, about the efforts, when you're PMSing, girl, sometimes that plan's got to be modified.
Yeah.
When you know how you're going to eat when you have PMS, you make a realistic plan just so you can say you were successful. You don't have to lose weight when you're PMS. You're probably not going to anyway because your hormones are going to be jingle-jangling anyhow.
That's the proper medical term, yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I did not go to med school, and I picked that up all on my own. So you just create a plan and a day that you can be successful at because you're probably not feeling great anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Now, and about these brothers and all that kind of stuff, you handle them. You handle them every other day.
Yeah. You know, my sister-in-law was like, oh, that your brother is like doing keto. He's successful. And I'm just like, okay, the Harvard grad doctor who's losing weight. I don't want to hear all this. Like, but that's, you know.
You know what? He gets to do his keto. You get to do your PMP. Everybody's journey is different. It, you know, I did keto once. Did I ever tell you about the time I did keto? I lost like 50 pounds in 3 months. Boom, gone. Went off the keto and gained it all back in about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Didn't stick for me. Sticks for somebody. Some people feel great. I felt like crap. It didn't work for me at all.
Yeah.
Gained the weight back. What you're doing it the right way. You're learning the basics. You're creating new habits. It'll come together. Sometimes you just got to be patient with yourself. Did you hear me talking about the stages of weight loss? Go back and listen to that lesson in OBS.
Yeah.
Go back and listen because Corinne does a really great job of explaining it. And you're just probably in a little bit of stage two.
Does it fluctuate? Can you go back?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You can't go from stage two to stage four.
Yeah.
But you can go from stage two to stage three, back to stage two, back to stage. You can do that.
Okay. I thought I passed it. That's why I was just like, where the hell am I?
Oh no, I'm back in stage two. I got to keep showing up when it's hard.
Yeah. Okay. So is it okay? I didn't know you have a lot. Is it okay to write 2 to 2 tomorrow? Like I'm just going to try my best just to eat when
you
I'm hungry. What?
If you stay on that hunger scale tomorrow and that's a success for you, then you just go right ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we did a podcast, I don't know, probably a year ago. I don't even know what the number is, on I think Corinne titled it, "Your period's a bitch, but you don't have to be." Right?
Oh no, yeah. What I am right now.
And she talks about how to plan around your cycle and how to allow yourself the grace to know that you're going to have cravings and to know that you're probably not going to eat on plan, and just to plan that way. Because you don't want to set yourself up to fail.
Yeah.
You know, you doing a plan of chicken and broccoli tomorrow is probably not going to be a success. Right?
No.
So just to, plan as much as you can.
Yeah.
But if as much as you can is, I'm going to say between my twos, then you just do what's best for Amaka tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. When do you go see this friend of yours?
On Friday.
Friday. Have a beautiful time.
Thank you.
She's in Miami, where it's nice and warm. And
yeah, I used to live in Miami since from like age 2 to first grade.
Yeah. So go down there and show her awesome Amaka. With this encouraging, supportive, loving, carefree person that you are with her.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm surprised I still had tears left. Okay.
You must drink a lot of water.
Yep.
All right. You take care.
Thank you.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Laura Still.
Hi.
There you are. Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm sitting in my car because there's room service inside in the hotel room. I just needed to get away from it. But I joined tonight because I did the hunger scale challenge. And I joined in April and I'm 20 days on plan. I love planning. Mm-hmm. I'm losing weight. Mm-hmm. I love the feeling of committing to myself, and I'm embracing the program. Every once in a while, I have thoughts. This is probably just the honeymoon phase, and I just push those away.
Mm-hmm.
And then tonight, I kind of had a meltdown when I needed to throw away half of my meal, and so I said, "Okay, I'll." I did it, and I talked to my accountability group and videotaped the waiter taking away the food and aging myself, videoed, whatever.
We might be about the same age.
Yeah.
I get the vernacular there.
Yeah. And I have this like giant ball of feeling here, and I can't get it on paper.
So what's the feeling? What are you feeling? One word.
I feel like I'm having a temper tantrum I feel shorted or bossed around.
Okay.
You know?
All right. So why do you feel that way?
I go to what comes into my head is like somebody telling me what to do.
Okay.
And I was,
so why does it bother you that somebody tells you what to do? Why does it bother you that we told you to throw away food tonight?
Yeah. It's like against everything I was raised. Mm-hmm. Don't waste food.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma kept food in the fridge. I'd go and visit her 3 months later and it would still be there. And it's like against everything I was raised to do.
Okay. So is it better to eat it than it is to throw it away?
No. And
why are you having a fit about it?
I don't know. That's the
point. No. You know, let's say I don't know. If you had to guess, if it's not better, What would you do with it? It was room service, right? You don't have, let's assume you don't have a refrigerator in your room.
It was a restaurant, so I wouldn't even take it to my room.
So why are you having a temper tantrum?
I wanted to eat the rest of it.
That's why.
Yes.
Not because you were wasting it. It's because right. you wanted to eat it.
I did.
Right. So I if did. You were to tell me right now, sitting in that car, where are you on the hunger scale?
I might have my popcorn snack tonight, but I'm not starving.
So are you like plus two now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm right plus two.
So you wanted to eat it, but what yeah. we showed you was you really didn't need it. So yeah. you're like, damn it. I want to eat more than that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what happens as you do these hunger scale challenges is you begin to see that you don't need as much food as you put in your body.
Right.
And once you wrap your arms around that and you start really eating to plus two, which is probably might be half of what you eat each time.
Right.
And you wrap your arms around the fact that you don't need that much food. Guess what happens?
You level up. You
lose yeah. weight.
You lose more.
Yes. Right. Yes. Because yeah. what you're doing is eating to maintain the weight that you are. If you only need half as much, what's going to happen? You're going to lose weight.
Right.
Because you'll be eating to maintain less than what you are.
Right.
Right? So that's right. why you were having a temper tantrum. You weren't having it because we told you to throw away food. You were having it because you wanted to eat it.
Yeah.
And you didn't need it.
Yeah.
And that's the first time you realized you really didn't need it.
Right. And so much of it.
Right.
A couple bites is no big deal, but half.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would call that hunger scale challenge a success for you.
I agree.
Because you saw that you only needed half. You saw the yeah. temper tantrum and you've processed it. It's exactly what you should have done. Good yeah. work.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Does that help?
Go journal.
Yes. Go journal about it. Go journal about it. All right.
All right.
See
Thank
ya.
You, Kat.
Okay. Bye-bye. The other Laura, you're up. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you for waiting.
No, it's fine. I got home late and I just thought, well, I'll just raise my hand because mm-hmm. I was listening to, I don't remember. Anyway, on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh my gosh, this is my issue. It keeps coming up and it's come up multiple times. And I've done a few TDLs and a couple models on it and it is not going away. And okay. I'm not able to neutralize my thought around this. And I don't know how to. So that's why I'm here. So I need help figuring out how to neutralize this thought. So I don't care that I'm overeating. I just don't care. And I know there was somebody previous tonight that said something very similar. And I had kids and dinner going on, and so I couldn't listen to that particular section very mm-hmm. well. So but I was like, oh, I don't care either. But I couldn't key in enough to really hear what you talked to her about. So
why don't you care that you're overeating? I mean, do you care that you're over? I'm assuming you're overweight. I can't, you know.
Yeah, so I've lost 40 pounds on my own and I vacillate with this last 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing this for about 3 years.
Okay. So are you okay weighing this 20 pounds more than?
No, all right. I'm absolutely not. And I don't feel good. And I know this. Mm-hmm. And I know how I feel when I'm at my goal weight and I want to be there and I want to stay there. And that is what I want. Mm-hmm. But in the moment of eating and it tastes so good mm-hmm. and I know I just want it. And mm-hmm. I think part of my issue might be surrounding previous restriction. The yo-yo that I've been on of these, and this is potentially why I restrict is because I want the food. And so if I restrict the food, I can stick to it for sometimes very long, 6 months or more, and do a good job. And then I eventually obviously it doesn't work, and that's why I'm here. And so I go on and off of this. And so, I do care, but in the moment I don't. And so I've been trying to figure out what the model for this is. And I
think you should figure out what the thought is first. It's something other than I don't care. So when you're in the moment,
yes,
and you want to just eat and eat, what are you telling yourself?
That I really like what I'm eating.
Okay.
and I don't want to stop because I really enjoy it.
I really like what I'm eating. I don't want to stop. What else?
Let me think about this. I don't know. See, this is the part that I've been struggling with.
This is where you need to journal.
Okay.
When you're in the middle of eating, overeating, you mm-hmm. listen to what you're telling yourself. You probably have 20 different excuses. They could be, I deserve this. I fixed this. This was hard to make. You know, I love this. You know,
that is entirely the truth. When I yes. cooked something, I'm like, no, I worked really hard for this food.
So this is what I told the other person to do. You write down every single one of those excuses, and then you write down an answer to it.
During the overeat or afterwards?
No, you have to, at some point, you examine what you tell yourself. You write down all the excuses you have for overeating.
So I've been doing the worksheets like mad, thinking they're going to help me eventually.
Yeah.
I'm an April baby, so I haven't been here that long. So I've only had the chance to maybe do 20 or 30 at this point. So I've been doing a lot. Mm-hmm. So through those, I kept thinking, you know, something was going to come out and I was going to be able to say, this is the thought. And I can't get past that. I just don't care. But that's not the truth. And so right. That's why I say
there's something underneath it. It's yes, easy to say, I just don't care. I don't care because you don't in the moment, you don't care, but there's a reason you're telling yourself you don't care.
Right. Well, so and then if you're, the other
are you,
part,
are you doing so the full recovery?
Was, are you doing it's because I'm distracted. I need to stop eating with distraction. So I've been working really hard with that. And I've been done really well, actually. I have stopped eating with distraction. I have stopped. At work, I often check email while I'm eating. Mm-hmm. I have completely stopped. I just shut it all down and I sit and eat for the 10 minutes that it takes. And then I go back to what I was doing.